Good morning. So my name is Bill Lamori, and I'm the lead pastor here of Calvary Fellowship. Glad you're with us this Christmas Eve morning. Question for you, how many of you are fans of A Christmas Carol? Okay, a few of you, a bunch of you, that's great. Listen, for me, anytime you combine Christmas and ghosts, you have my attention. And so I've always been a fan of this story, and as have many people since it was first published 174 years ago. Now, many of us, though, to be honest, we're probably more familiar, rather than Charles Dickens' novella, we're probably more familiar with the numerous adaptations. There are so many of them that have been done, whether it's movies, plays, cartoons. I even, a couple years ago, exposed my children to the Mr. Magoo version, which you can find in all its full glory on YouTube. And so there's just many different ways that we can take in this story. But these adaptations, while kind of fun, I think they tend to downplay the original story. Because Scrooge, if you read the story, was far more sinister in that story. And old London in that time, in that era, was just a lot more dark and dreary than we would imagine. So let me share a section of an article that was written by James Emery White that might give us some insight. He says, when you study the era itself that Dickens wrote about, he published A Christmas Carol in 1843 as a social statement against harsh child labor practices, you realize the times were dark and evil as well. Historian Lisa Toland wrote a fascinating essay on the reality behind the story. Almost 75% of London's population was considered working class, many of them children laboring in the factories. In fact, every member of a family had to work in order to survive. Dickens himself worked as a young boy to support his family while his parents were in debtor's prison. The time was known as the Hungry Forties because there was a depression along with a time of poor harvests. The London skyline was little more than smokestacks putting out clouds of sooty grit that covered rooftops and the cheeks of the young chimney sweeps. It was the coal-dependent nature of these factories that created the famed London fog. It wasn't fog at all, but a combination of smoke, soot, and grit. The streets were covered in rainwater, the contents of chamber pots, and animal waste. Rats were abundant. Small, often emaciated children sold flowers and matches while the wealthy classes' horse-drawn carriages swept past. London's poor were forced in shrinking housing districts. Multiple families lived in single rooms in run-down buildings. That was Dickens' London. And he goes on to describe how Scrooge was really a vile person too. And so understanding how dark those times were and how dark the heart of Scrooge was really helps us understand how dramatic the redemption of the story ultimately was. You see, in A Christmas Carol, redemption ultimately came as the result of a visitation. And in the original Christmas story we read in the Bible, we see that redemption also came in the form of a visitation. Because the times then, just like the times now, and hearts then, just like hearts and now, are as dark as ever. And so we need help from someone outside of us to rescue us, to come and help us. Because we can't help, we can't change ourselves. But you see, the biblical story of Christmas, it isn't ghosts that come visit and make the difference, but rather it is God himself who comes through this dramatic visitation that leads to redemption. So today we conclude our little mini-series, Christmas Reminders, in which we've been looking at some simple reminders in the Christmas story that can help guide us and give us great hope in busy, complex, and confusing times. Now, we started this by talking about how God hears us and how great news that is. Last week, we talked about how God heals us and this holistic healing that God wants to do in our lives. So today, we conclude by talking about how God is here with us. And this is a complete game changer. So let's read the story and break it down. Throughout this series, we found our focus in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Today, our focus will be 22 to 25. But again, for context, we'll back up and read the whole thing. So let's start in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, and this is where we find our focus today, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You got to be careful around here. Now, again, having discussed these prior verses in previous weeks, we're going to find our focus mostly in verse 23 because that's where we discover one of the most amazing things about Christmas, which is hard to say that this is one of the most amazing things because Christmas altogether is pretty awesome, right? I mean, for many of us, we love the songs, some of which we sang today. We love the food, the holiday traditions, the Christmas specials, the parties, the family visits, the gift giving. I loved yesterday watching my girls just in there, just baking all these Christmas cookies. Of course, I love eating them too. And so there's lots to love about Christmas. All of this is nice and all of this can be fun, but we don't want to miss the most amazing thing about the big event that we are celebrating. And that's Christmas reminds us that God is here with us. You see, after Joseph was told by an angel that his fiancée was actually, you know, that child was put there by the Holy Spirit of God, and that he should take Mary as his wife, and that he should call this child Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. After this revelation, Matthew, the author of this gospel, adds some commentary. Now, just a quick thing about Matthew. Matthew was a Jewish man, and he wrote the gospel of Matthew predominantly to a Jewish audience. And so thematically, what we see through the Gospel of Matthew is he's always trying to tie the events and the teachings of Jesus back to Old Testament to show how Jesus is the fulfillment of the Messiah that had long been prophesied. And so he said, let's reread verse 23, which he quotes from in order to do this. He says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So here, Matthew is quoting from the prophet Isaiah, and he's applying the prophecy to Jesus. And the first thing we see is a miracle, because virgins don't have babies, right? That's not how it works. And hopefully most of you know that by now, and for the rest of you, just went over your head, and that's fine. Parents will someday explain that to you. But listen, as we've already discussed, this is no ordinary baby, and this baby did not come from an ordinary process. This baby is Jesus. This baby is God himself, and the process of conception was not physical, but spiritual, as the Holy Spirit put this child in Mary. But this divine, miraculous baby was to be called Emmanuel. Now, this was not the proper name for Jesus, right? We don't have any record of anyone ever calling Jesus that, but Matthew points out that this name finds its fulfillment in Jesus. And the meaning of this name is, again, to me, one of the most amazing things about Christmas. It encapsulates that. The name Emmanuel means God with us. Now, when you consider that, it changes a lot of impressions about God that people have. You see, many atheists will say things like, oh, you believe in a fairy tale sky god that's right somewhere off in the distance, this celestial being. But you see, that's not the God of the Bible. Every other religion in the world other than Christianity is something about what we can do to get to God. But we can never be good enough or do good enough to get to God. And that's why the good news is we don't have to. Because God isn't off there somewhere in the sweet by and by, distant and aloof. And we don't have to somehow struggle to figure out how to get to him. Because he came right down here with us to be with us. So the original Christmas gift wasn't about the presents. It was about God's presence right here amongst us. God isn't somewhere up there. God is here with us. And so for the rest of our time, let's just consider why this is so helpful and encouraging and look at some Christmas reminders from that. The first thing this reminds us that God is with us is that we are not alone. You want to know something interesting and peculiar about our church? Most churches on a day like this, on Christmas Eve, will be absolutely packed. And then you come back that night and they'll be absolutely packed for Christmas Eve services. In fact, that was the experience that I came from in South Florida. I was part of a church that was so large that for their Christmas Eve services, they would rent out the arena that the Florida Panthers played in. And they'd have two services for Christmas Eve. And so when we came here, we thought, all right, let's do a big outreach Christmas push. And then we're like, wow, Easter, that seems to happen. But Christmas, it doesn't seem like so many people are here. But what we came to realize is that a lot of people, at least in our church, are from somewhere else. And so when Christmas comes around, many times they are home visiting their family. In fact, that's why we did our, you know, people are like, oh, why'd you do your kids, Calvary Kids concert last week? Because we wanted kids to sing. And so a lot more kids were around last week. And so for us, we get it, though, because people around the holidays, around Christmas, want to be with the people they love. They want to spend time with them. They don't want to be alone. Now, for some of you, this is precisely why the holidays are harder for you. Perhaps you're not from here, and this is just a difficult season for you because you can't travel back. And if you're in that space, look, I get that. Me and my wife, Rebecca, when we moved back here in 2005, we didn't have any local family. And so almost every Christmas we were here, and almost every Christmas we were spending without family. Thank God, 4 years ago, my mother and stepfather moved here. And so it's been a wonderful thing to have family here. But we understand, and we spent many more Christmases alone. In fact, as you look at that, now some of you would say, okay, it's not that I don't even have family somewhere else to go to. Many of you look and say, I just don't even have a lot of family left. I don't have a lot of places I can go to. And so for some of you, the Christmas season is even harder. But really, forgetting about Christmas for the moment, I know this. I know that some in a group this size would say, if you're real honest, I'm just lonely altogether in general. Maybe it has to do with the stage of life you're going through. Maybe a difficulty that you're going through all on your own. Maybe you haven't even told anybody about it. Whatever the case, I mean, that's super tough when you feel like you're going through something all on your own. But the encouraging and comforting thing for us is the fact that God is with us reminds us that we are never alone. You see, some would say, well, yeah, Christmas is great because Jesus came and he was born, but after he grew up, after he died, after he was crucified, rose again, he went back to heaven and we're still here. That's true. But remember, he didn't leave us without his presence. Remember what he said in John 14:16? He said, "And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." So Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, we see that Jesus delivered on that promise. And from that point forward, every single person who puts their faith in Jesus has the Holy Spirit of God come and live inside of us. And the Holy Spirit does this great work, comforting us, correcting us, guiding us, encouraging us. And so we know that God is with us. God is, in fact, in us. And so sometimes what we need to do, and especially during a busy season like Christmas where everything's going on, is we just need to cut through the clutter. We need to slow down, stop the noise, and spend some time with God so we can sense the fact that he is there because he's already here. But sometimes we just need to make room so that we can sense his presence. Listen, you may feel lonely, but if you are a follower of Jesus, you are never alone. God being here with us reminds us that we're not alone, but it also reminds us, number two, that we don't have to be afraid. You know the most common reaction that people had when angels actually made an appearance to them throughout the Bible? It was fear. Yeah, it was as if they saw a ghost. But again, that's another story. And so in Luke 2, we're not going over that today, but an angel made an appearance to a group of shepherds in the wilderness. And, you know, you think about it, these group of shepherds were out minding their own business, which is kind of a boring, quiet job. And all of a sudden, angels burst onto the scene. There's noise and light. You got to imagine that's jarring and a little bit of a terrifying episode. And so it says this in Luke 10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord." You see, they didn't need to be afraid. In fact, they're instructed they should be joyful because Jesus, the Savior, was born. God is with us. In the same way, the fact that God is with us reminds us that we don't need to be afraid. Because if you look at, think about fear. Fear is everywhere in our world. There is fear over death, disease, crime, aging, health, our leaders. There's fear over the environment. There's fear over the economy. Sometimes there's fears over, is my job going to be stable? Parents have fears over how their kids are going to turn out. Kids have fears that they're going to turn out like their parents, right? Fear is everywhere. And some of these fears, I mean, are very real fears that we have to consider. As we consider this, many people are afraid to die. What happens afterwards? Many people are afraid to live. We have phobias that just kind of paralyze us and hold us back. But the fact that God is with us changes everything. You see, not being alone and not being afraid are deeply connected to one another. My kids are all a little bigger now and more independent, if you ask them. But they certainly are, more so than they used to be. But I remember when they were younger, and when they were afraid of something, they just really wanted mommy or daddy around. When something scared them, to be able to, you know, hold their hands or grab them was just all the comfort they needed. And they would sense everything is okay because I'm not alone. My mommy or my daddy is right there with me. And they knew we would protect them and take care of them. And from a young age, we've always reminded them that God is always with them. So they don't ever need to be afraid, even when we're not around them. And for some of us, you need that reminder today. You don't need to be afraid. I don't know everything you're going through, but God does, and He is with you. And yes, there are some truly horrific things that happen and are happening in our world. And there are some unjust things, and whatever is in our power to do something about, we absolutely should do that in the name of Jesus. But there are many things that we can't control, that we have no power over, things that could come and strip us from everything we know, everything we love, everything that's dear to us could be taken away. And there's mass casualties that could cause lots of pain, lots of suffering. You say, well, it doesn't sound like you're calming my fears. I'm being realistic. The world is a dark and scary place. And these are real concerns, and I don't deny any of that. But living in fear holds us back. And God wants us to move forward. You see, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's moving forward in the face of your fears, especially because we know God is with us. Remember this psalm, one of the most famous psalms. Listen to this verse from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen, we live in dark times, and yes, there is much uncertainty in the world around us, but just like King David who wrote this, God is with us. So you don't need to pretend that your fears don't exist. You just simply need to present them to God and then ask Him to help you move forward because you know that He's right there with you. And here's the great thing as we consider this. God is with us, and so that means we're not alone. We don't have to feel like we are. We don't have to live in fear of whatever is out there because we know God is with us. But the great thing is, God, as we consider that, we don't have to wait someday until things get better. But we understand that because God is with us, things can begin to get better right now. And that's the last Christmas reminder we're going to look at, is that we don't have to stay the same. As much as many of us fear that things are somehow going to get worse, many of us live with a fear and are disappointed in life because we believe that things won't change for the better. But the fact that God is with us gives us the promise of permanent and complete change in the future, but ongoing change starting right now. I mean, how could God be with us and we ever be the same? You see, in a Christmas carol, it's touching to see how Scrooge is transformed after his visitation. I mean, he has a complete heart change that starts internally and then begins working itself out externally as he goes from being greedy and selfish to just being generous and sharing what he has and being kind with his employees and to the poor around him. Now, prior to that, exactly nobody who saw Scrooge would have ever expected that this was ever going to happen to him. You'd probably look at him and say, sure, he's rich and successful, but he's going to die a miserable old man alone with all the stuff that he has. In the same way, some of us have become so set in our ways, so entrenched in our habits, so familiar with the status quo that we don't think we could ever change. Or we think that someone around us could never change. And here's the thing. On our own, that's probably right. We probably couldn't change. Now, last week, we talked about this, though. We're not, you know, today we're talking about we're not on our own. Last week, we talked about this. Jesus heals us. And that's the encouraging thing. He changes us. He saves us from our sins, which is wonderful news. But also, it's not, you know, salvation isn't just, hey, forgetting the past. It's doing a new thing. It's not just being saved from something. It's being saved for something. And so God begins this transformative work inside of us. He begins to heal us. And he's also here with us, changing us and transforming us by his presence. So a few years back, I used to have like a running coach who would come over once a week, and he'd push me to exercise, and I would do things that I didn't know I could do or never even thought to do. In fact, my wife has a hilarious picture. I don't even exactly remember what was happening. I didn't know she was awake at that time. I'd have been embarrassed. But she has a picture of me with a rope tied around me, somehow attached to a truck. I don't know what was going on because I know I wasn't pulling the truck. But here's the thing. This coach was pushing me and challenging me again and trying to do a work of transformation. But in the same way, in fact, in a much better way, Jesus is someone that is more advanced than us, that is pushing us and challenging us to do something new. In an even better way than the example of my coach. Because God doesn't just tell us a whole bunch of things and then try to motivate us to do them. I mean, that's maybe part of the work that he does. But more than that, he begins changing our very nature. He begins changing us from the inside out. He begins to transform our heart and our desires. The Holy Spirit begins doing a work inside of us to work these changes out. So it starts from the inside and then begins to move to the outside, where it's not only a benefit to us, but everyone around us. You see, just like Scrooge's transformation impacted the way he lived and cared for others, so should ours. The fact that God is here with us should help us become also more generous to the less fortunate, to do things to help other people. Now, these changes can manifest in many different ways, but however they manifest, one of the wonderful promises that followers of Jesus have is the promise of transcendence, of transformation. Now, some of you would say today, if you're honest, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm feeling kind of stuck. I'm feeling kind of stagnant. If God's Spirit is in me, wanting to change me, then why is it that I'm stuck? Well, listen, God does the hard work, but one thing we can do and one thing we should do is partner with him by offering ourselves to him to do as he pleases. Listen to what Paul describes in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so what this is saying is we willingly put ourselves in God's hands and then his hands do in us what we could never do on our own. And when we really experience this kind of change, it will absolutely flow outward, not only changing us, but also the people around us. And again, maybe you've been stuck a really long time, stuck in habits and heartbreak. Maybe you've been stuck in self-centered thinking and self-centered living. You don't have to be stuck a moment longer because God is with you and he wants to change you. Will you open yourself up for that today? Jesus was given to us as this wonderful first Christmas present from God. These verses in Romans show a pattern where in response to that, we give ourselves back to him as a gift that's pleasing to God. Now, tomorrow, as you all know, and many of you are very excited about, is Christmas Day. Many of us will be unwrapping presents and just spending time and being with people we really care about and who care about us. But you know who's also going to be there with you on Christmas Day? God. He gave us, again, the original Christmas gift. He gave us Jesus. God saves us. He gave us Emmanuel, God with us. He came to our rescue and he came to be with us. So what will your gift be to him tomorrow? Or why wait till tomorrow? What will your gift be to God today? I imagine he'd like you to give him your attention. You're not alone. And you never have to be. And if you give God your attention, you'll sense his presence once again. I imagine he'd like you to give him your fears, to know that because he's with you and that he's big enough and strong enough to overcome anything that you cannot, you can be brave. I also imagine he'd like for you to give him your hurts, your hang-ups, your habits, or anything that holds you back from moving forward, because he wants to change your life every single day and he wants to change the world around you. And so how I want to end today is I want to, in a word of prayer, and I'm just going to offer this prayer, and for any of you that just want to agree with me in this prayer, it'll be our prayer where we can offer ourselves back to God and offer these things to God and just celebrate and revel in the fact that God is with us. So please join me now as we pray. God, we thank you that you sent Jesus. You didn't leave us alone to deal with all the difficult, challenging, horrific things that happen in this world. But God, you're here and your presence changes everything for us. I do pray for anyone here today that feels alone. God, I pray right now that they would just give your attention and throughout this season and beyond, sense your presence, sense you working inside of them, sense the fact that you're with us. And God, I pray that you would just let that presence be felt so strongly that it would just bring confidence knowing that you're here. God, I pray for any that are living with fears right now, maybe fears of some known things, maybe something that none of us know that someone's going through. God, I pray that those fears would be given over to you and that you instead would meet those fears with your courage, with your presence, with your strength, and that you would help guide us through the many uncomfortable, challenging things that we don't want to do. But God, help us know we can do it with you. And God, for many of us today as we just struggle with maybe being the same and not sensing any growth, not sensing any transformation. We just pray, God, that you help us present ourselves back to you afresh, that we put our lives, our bodies in your hands as an act of worship today, and that with our hearts you would touch, you would change, you would transform, do a work of renewal inside of us. God, this Christmas, we celebrate, we have fun, but let us not miss you in the midst of all this celebration. And I want to say one more prayer. For those of you that maybe came today and you've never become a follower of Jesus, understand that God sent Jesus to come to us, to be with us. something you'd like to do today, if you'd like to respond to this generous offer, I'm going to say a prayer, and you can simply repeat these words in your heart, and God will hear you today and begin being with you and just unbroken, just ongoing fellowship for all eternity. And if you want to do that, then you can simply pray this prayer in your heart. God will hear you today. Just say, "Dear God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that this means, God, that you're hearing from me. I want to respond to you today. I confess I come to you as a sinner, having done many things for which I'm not proud, many things for which I'm ashamed. But I turn that over to you. I ask that you would begin a work of transformation. Help me know that I'm not alone, that I don't need to be afraid. God, I don't even know that I have what it takes to follow you. So be my strength to help me even in that. And I pray that you'd receive my heart today as your Christmas gift in response to the best one you ever gave. In Jesus' name." Now listen, if you prayed that prayer today, we're so excited for you. You've begun a relationship with God, and we want to help you with that. If you come over here to the New to Jesus section, there's be men and women that would love to give you a Bible, study guide, and answer any questions you may have. If you came in here today and you just need some prayer over anything, come over to this side. There'll be men and women that would love to pray for you, pray with you, and just help shoulder anything that you're going through so you don't have to feel like you're doing that alone. Just for everyone else, thank you so much. Merry Christmas. I hope you have a wonderful holiday.